This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. So one of the fastest growing fields in medicine now is, and the focus is on your gut health. And we talk about your gut, we talk about the microbiomes, we talk about what goes into the gut, how things leave the gut, and us telling you to improve your gut health, that's easier said than done. It's complex. So I'm really excited about our next guest. Joining us next is Raquel Papou, registered dietitian, licensed nutritionist based in Miami. She earned her bachelor's of science degree at Tufts University in Boston, then went to L.A. to complete her master's degree in functional medicine, and she's here to kind of talk to us about the ins and outs of improving our gut health. Raquel, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, doctor. Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
Gosh, I am good. I'm good. And I tell you, it's you know, you couldn't come soon enough. We have a lot of issues, and I think COVID altered a lot of our gut health because we're sitting more. A lot of us are getting constipated. You know, talk to us about what's going on from what you're seeing with patients.
Yeah, totally. So really what I'm seeing is that people are getting a lot of misinformation from social media, right, like TikTok and Instagram. There's thousands and thousands of videos with the hashtag, like, gut health or gut talk, and I just feel like people just don't have the right or correct information, and I just wanted to kind of be on here and kind of tell you guys a little bit more about gut health and what actually helps.
Absolutely. So, yeah, please share with us some of the tips that we should be following.
Totally. So there are a few red flags that you should look out for on, you know, TikTok and Instagram. So the first red flag I would say is look out for any quick fixes, right? So any unrealistic timeline, anyone saying or promising an immediate result, right? So people saying heal your gut with this juice in 1 week. Healing your gut takes time and patience. So you can't just drink aloe vera juice or olive oil for a week and solve all your problems, right? The second kind of red flag would be when someone offers just one solution, right? When they speak about something as a magic pill. So when they say, you know, I only did this. I only drank chia seeds in water. I only drank olive oil, or things that are trending on TikTok. Building a healthy microbiome takes more than just one single change, right? So a few of the changes would be the following. They'll be eat more fiber, soluble and insoluble, prebiotics, so things like chicory root, dandelion greens, Jerusalem artichokes, have resistant starch, so cook and then cool your rice and potatoes. That becomes resistant starch. Take probiotics, or I have a food-first approach always. So consume fermented foods like kimchi and kefir, pickled vegetables. And lastly, reducing your stress is really, really important because stress really plays an important role in gut health.
So true. You know, a big complaint I get from people is constipation. And I told them maybe convert their desk to from a sit down to a stand up, drink more water, get more exercise. But sometimes we do need to, you know, take a laxative or a stool softener, which differ. And talk to us about when do you recommend that we use those?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So actually, constipation is defined as having either less than 3 bowel movements a week, or having stools that are hard, dry, and lumpy when they should be soft and smooth, or just having a feeling that not all stool has passed. And there's going to be times in your life, as you said, you're maybe just not as active, or you're pregnant or postpartum or post-surgery, and we all kind of need like a little extra push. So they shouldn't be the first line of action. You should always implement those lifestyle changes that I just mentioned, consuming more fiber, drinking more water, making sure that you're consuming enough fat, because low-fat diets can actually lead to constipation as well. Maintaining your regular physical activity, and also making sure you're consuming enough food. But I do recommend that we do add a laxative when you've been doing all of these things. You're you're crossing all your T's, you're dotting all your I's, and just nothing is working. So I do recommend adding a natural laxative here. Things that I love to recommend are things like psyllium husk. I love senna leaf tea, and I love prunes or prune paste. And actually, doctor, there's a brand that I love called Prune Lax. And Prune Lax makes all their products with senna and prunes, which is just a very, very natural product. And they come in tablets, they come in jams, they come in tea bags, liquids, and they're actually coming out with some gummies. So that's going to be really exciting, too.
That's good because, you know, I've, as a doctor, I've referred, you know, people, you know, to get the prunes. The prunes help. And they say, but I don't like the taste. I can't deal with the taste. This seems to maybe kind of help minimize that sort of fear, right? How do they taste?
Yeah, totally. I mean, if they're going to come out with some gummies or if there's tea bags, right, you can add like a little bit of honey and lemon into your tea bags. That would be great. And that's like a yummy drink. That is very effective as well.
Good. You know, and I know you counsel people so they don't abuse laxatives. When do you see people abusing them? How often is too often?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and it depends on the laxative they're using. So the one that I actually just spoke about, Prune Lax, can be used for 7 days. There are other ones that are a little less severe. They don't really work as quickly. So things like psyllium husk you can use for longer. But, yeah, I don't recommend that laxatives be used forever at all. I think they're more of like an acute thing that you take at the moment when you're suffering from constipation, but not to be taken forever, right?
Right.
Definitely read the labels carefully. Drink lots of fluid when you're taking laxatives. And, yeah, just be careful and don't take them as a means to lose weight or just especially don't take them for longer than their intended use.
And in the final minute, does this also soften the stool? Because, you know, on one end you need the stool soft, and then on the other end you need to be able to get it to pass. Does the Prune Lax also soften it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure, because prunes actually contain soluble and insoluble fiber. So soluble actually makes that prune softer, and then the insoluble will make it easier to pass. So it actually prevents constipation. So just having that prune in there is going to be great for both of those effects.
I love it. Where can my listeners find more information?
Yeah, so for the Prune Lax, you guys can get it on Amazon and all chain drugstores like CVS, Walgreens. The psyllium husk is everywhere. Probably many brands carry it. And for me, you can find me on Instagram at Raquel by Raquel.
Love it. God, you are a wealth of information. Thank you so much. I can't wait to have you back.
Thank you, doctor. Great speaking with you.
Raquel Papu, thank you so much. All right, guys, don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY. Hey, guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DR-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason, our producer, and big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dolly and on Facebook, the Dr. Dolly Show. So one question we have, Anonymous wants to know, how many teenagers are having abortions? Do we have those numbers? A question I got last week is how many undocumented residents of the United States are requiring abortions. So I don't have a lot of those numbers. I don't have the numbers for 2022 or 2021 or 2020. All I could look up to answer those questions was what the Guttmacher Institute gives us. And their data was published in 2019, but it comes from 2014 numbers. So these aren't necessarily our numbers, but it kind of puts some things into perspective for those of you wondering how many teenagers are aborting or ending their pregnancies, and you know, if funds are going for, you know, non-documented immigrants, and it's the, you know, so here's the statistics that they provide. They say back in 2014, one in four women will have an abortion by the age of 45. Now, we were told that one in five pregnancies get terminated. That was of most recent statistics. But back in 2014, they said 25% or 24% of women were going to have an abortion. More than half of all U.S. abortion patients, they say, were in their 20s. Patients aged 20 to 24, according to the Guttmacher Institute, obtained 34% of all abortions. Patients aged 25 to 29 obtained 27%. According to their data, adolescents made up 12% of abortion patients in 2014. Those who were 18 to 19 years old were accounted for 8% of the abortions. 15 to 17-year-olds were 3%. Those younger than 15 were 0.2%. So it doesn't seem to be extremely common in the teenage population, but there is still a significant number, especially if now we're at the million mark. Then, you know, there's obviously still thousands that are you know, being done in those age groups. They say white patients accounted for 39% of abortion procedures in 2014, black patients for 28%, Hispanic for 25%, patients in other races and ethnicities, 9%. 17% of abortion patients in 2014 identified themselves as Protestant. Now, that's an interesting metric. 13% as evangelical Protestant. 24% of abortion patients were Catholic. 38% had no religious affiliation. The remaining 8% reported some other affiliation. So that can include, you know, LDS, Jewish, Muslim, who knows. The vast majority, 94% of abortion patients in 2014 identified as heterosexual or straight. 4% said they were bisexual. 0.3% identified as homosexual, gay, or lesbian. 1% identified as something else, quote-unquote something else. 59% of abortions in 2014 were obtained by patients who had had at least one birth. So it wasn't necessarily their first pregnancy. 75% of abortion patients in 2014 were poor. They said having an income below the federal poverty level of $15,730 for a family of two in 2014, low income having income of 100 to 199% of the federal poverty level. In 2014, 16% of patients who obtained abortions in the U.S. were born outside of the United States. They say this is a proportion comparable to the representation in the U.S. population, 17% of women aged 15 to 44. So they say 16% were people from outside the country. In 2014, 51% of abortion patients. Now, this metric is fascinating to me. 51% of abortion patients were using a contraceptive method the month they became pregnant. Most common one was condoms, 24%, or short-acting hormonal method, 13%. So if 51% of, and now we're at a million, they were at about 837,000 maybe then, but if we're at a million, that means 500,000 people are on birth control when they're getting pregnant. What? Now, condoms should be pretty efficacious. Is it that they're being stealthed where somebody's taking the condom off in the middle of sex? Is it because the condom isn't being worn properly? Is it that they might start the, you know, sexual encounter with the condom, but then, you know, so like, for example, sometimes this happens. Two people are having sex. The male partner climaxes first, gets rid of the condom. Then she would like to climax. So he helps her, but doesn't realize that there's still, you know, he could still give sperm even if he's not currently climaxing. So, you know, I think there's a huge education on sex and how to get pregnant and how birth control works in this country. You know, these provide some very fascinating statistics, and I know this is based on 2014 data, But, you know, if we are paying for free birth control and the Affordable Care Act guarantees people having access to birth control, we need to have a much, you know, we have a very, very frank conversation about, you know, is it practical? Is it really getting to the people who need it? You know, we spoke about how in Nevada, they passed a law in 2005 to lower the property tax rate increase percent from 8% to 3% to help, you know, families, you know, deal with the high property tax increases. They passed that law. You know, my husband and I had a home, should have been under that law. Everybody, you know, within that time, everybody, or, you know, but they didn't extend it to everybody. And there was a little drama a week or two ago where they said, look, guys, if it looks like your rate isn't correct, you have till Thursday to fix it for this previous fiscal year. And everybody freaked out because so many people had it wrong on there because nobody ever put it, you know, from the assessor's office or the treasury's office on the right amount. So I bring that up in that laws get passed and everybody thinks, oh, the law got passed. But it doesn't necessarily mean it extended to people. That was the concern I had with the Affordable Care Act. You might say, look, everybody now has access to health care and they could, you know, they could get the, they could go on the website and then they could get part of their or most of the premium bought down with subsidies. And look at what we did. Yay, we got health care for everybody. And we as doctors said, look, these people aren't making it to the doctor. A card is not health care. There, you know, why didn't we put the money into free clinics so people could walk into a clinic? But telling them they have a card and then them finding that it's a four-week wait to get to the doctor, that doesn't help them. So, you know, laws are getting passed. We think that everybody has access to birth control, yet abortions are going up. Why? Maybe they really don't have that access. Maybe we think the type of birth control we're offering is adequate, and it's not. Maybe people aren't using the condom right. Maybe people aren't taking the birth control correctly. It's very difficult to remember to take a pill a day. I know a lot of you guys got it down, but I got to tell you, when I was younger, I mean, I'm working 36-hour shifts at a hospital. I don't know when it's daylight, when it's not, because you're indoors the whole time. And if you forget your pack at home, you're going 2-3 days without it. IUDs might simplify things, but some people don't like IUDs. There's the Nexplanon, which you have to have surgically implanted in your arm. There's Depo-Provera shots, but those could, you know, cause some side effects. So, you know, maybe we think we're doing enough, and we're not, but we have a problem if we have 1 million women a year needing to terminate their pregnancies. It's a problem. And it's also a problem that the country is completely divided on Roe v. Wade because the feds are like, look, we're out. This is up to the states. And, I mean, you know, people want to, you know, they want to riot. They want to go after the Supreme Court justices' lives. I mean, I think there are some easier fixes to this. And we really need to focus on minimizing, you know, the risk of somebody, you know, becoming pregnant when they're doing everything they think they're supposed to in terms of preventing pregnancy. 1-877 Dr. Ali, don't go away.
Would you like to have an abundance of energy without stimulants? Did you know that if you can remove 95% of the toxins from your body and eliminate excessive inflammation, that your cells become younger? This results in more energy, endurance, and a sharper mind. The majority of your body's ability to detoxify and eliminate excessive inflammation is dependent upon intracellular glutathione production. Toxins and aging combine to shut down glutathione production, making supplementation mandatory. But supplemental glutathione does not work. The most effective means of increasing intracellular glutathione production is by consuming two peptides called gamma-glutamylcysteine and cysteine. There's only one food in nature that supplies both of these peptides in high concentrations. That food is non-denatured whey protein concentrate. The only non-denatured whey protein on the market is Green Meadow Whey. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit bestweyprotein.net. That's bestweyprotein.net.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Senate is back to work in Washington, D.C., and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin are working on what they're calling a slimmed-down version of President Biden's Build Back Better agenda. Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, is having no part of it, claiming that most of his constituents won't support it.
Our colleagues are reportedly cooking up $1 trillion in massive tax hikes on things like small businesses and domestic energy. When you tax something, Mr. President, you get less of it. That's the way it works. I don't know many Kentuckians who think America needs fewer small business jobs or less American energy.
As the crisis on the U.S.-Mexico border continues, President Biden is welcoming the President of Mexico to the White House, and you're listening to USA Radio News. The price of gas is continuing its decline across the nation.
The national average for a gallon of regular has fallen over the past several weeks by 34 cents after edging above $5 a gallon. Some states have experienced nearly 50-cent declines. According to an analysis by The Hill using AAA data, the greatest declines took place in the South and Midwest. Indiana and Florida leading the way, followed by Ohio, Wisconsin, and Texas. The drop in price doesn't necessarily mean cheaper gas. The five states with the lowest averages are South Carolina, Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas. For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns in New York.
A new mutation of the coronavirus Omicron variant is being detected on the West Coast, and it's said to be very infectious. The new variant, called BA.2.75, seems to produce symptoms similar to the earlier varieties, such as a sore throat, runny nose, and cold-like symptoms. USA Radio News.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
All right, guys. We are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. So Melissa asks about how to improve her sleep. She could fall asleep fine, but her husband wakes her up with snoring, and she doesn't want to sleep in a different bed. I can't tell you how many couples I know sleep in separate beds. And that actually was a question we spoke about years ago, where somebody said, look, we have a happy marriage. Is that okay, though, that, you know, we'll have sex, but then we'll just sleep in separate beds? So there's two issues I want to talk about. One, is it okay to sleep in a separate bed from your spouse? Number two is it, you know, what to do about, you know, being woken up by somebody who snores? So let's talk about the marriage part of it really quickly here. So if you have a partner or you have a spouse or somebody you are with and you have issues sleeping and you prefer to have your own bed, you can absolutely make that work in your marriage. Okay? I mean, you know, when people say, what's the definition of a happy marriage? Well, we share the same bed. You know, we have sex often. There's no true definition of that. Sadly, there are sexless marriages. Some of these marriages do well. I think they struggle. I don't see how you could be with somebody that you can't have sex with, or, you know, or you want to be with somebody or they don't want to have sex. That's got to be difficult. But, I mean, there are sexless marriages out there that still seem to work. But the concept of, look, you know, I have to get up early. I don't want to wake you up. Or I get up in the middle of the night. I don't want to wake you up. You know, there are families that, you know, have a separate bed. In fact, my husband and I slept separately when the kids were younger. We had the kids when they were babies in our room, but then we had, you know, when I would breastfeed them and I was in their room, it was easier for me to just, you know, because I would keep going back to bed. I would keep going back to bed and then I couldn't. So then I was like, you know what? Let's put a mattress here so I could breastfeed and then I could fall asleep. You don't want to roll on to the kid, but I would throw him in the crib and then without having to walk and trip over the dog and all that, since he's going to wake up in a few hours to eat again, I was right there. So we did move mattresses into the baby rooms. And then, you know, once the kids were old enough and they didn't keep bugging us, we stopped that. But it is common. A lot of parents will notice, yeah, you know what? The kid woke up, you know, my wife or my husband, and I'm like, you know what? I'll be there for them, get them a bottle. So that does happen, and it doesn't mean the marriage is falling apart. In terms of those that don't have young children and, you know, sleeping in separate beds, if you have couples that don't get good sleep, they're going to fight. And I think sleep is important. And if a couple, you know, still can enjoy their intimacy, you know, but they find that they sleep better in a separate bed, then I don't think that's a deal breaker. I don't think that's something that's going to, you know, cause them to end up in divorce. I like to sleep in the same bed with my husband. I do. But when the kids were very, very young and we would get a hotel and we would get two beds, we would put the boys, and this was, you know, a short trip. You know, if we did a longer trip, you know, we would try to get like a suite or something so Corey and I would have some privacy. But if it was a short trip, we're like, all right, guys, here's, you guys are in that bed, mommy, daddy, here, and fall asleep. You know, you'd be too tired to do anything anyway. But then the boys would fight. So I'm like, okay, forget it. I'm going to sleep, split up. So one would sleep next to daddy, one sleeps next to me. So we could stop the fighting. That's common. I mean, you know, families will figure out how to make things work so everybody gets a good night's sleep. Hopefully couples that sleep in the same, in a different bed are still having the intimacy. They still have their moments, you know, that they get to be together and cuddle and all that. But then if they're like, look, I have a better night's sleep, sleeping, you know, away from each other, great. Well, the reason why I will never sleep away from my husband is because I want to watch his breathing. I want to watch his snoring. And many, I think, according to the American Association of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgeons, half of Americans snore. And snoring is airway resistance. So when air goes through a smaller chamber, in order to move to another chamber, there will be resistance. That resistance will cause noise, and it will resonate sounds. That's why some farts have different sounds than others, and people think they're really funny. But it's because, again, you're changing the air resistance. That's how you can make a lot of different sounds. And so snoring could be very quiet, like, you know, something like that. Or it could be, you know, and my worry is if I hear snoring like that and my husband would snore like that, I'm like, I think you have sleep apnea. I think you need to get yourself tested. I think you need to get a sleep study done. And, you know, so then, you know, he could get a CPAP machine. So if you are with somebody who snores, make sure that they get evaluated for, you know, sleep apnea. Sleep apnea is where you lose air and oxygen to the brain. I think that puts people at risk for dementia. I think it is crucial for people to get adequate air in their, you know, in their blood, adequate oxygen to their brain. And many people fear the CPAP, the continuous positive airway pressure machine. They fear it because they don't think they'll be able to sleep on it. They are getting more and more comfortable and quieter, such that the mask you use is starting to get smaller, more pliable, and people do well. The other thing, too, is a lot of you guys are snoring because you had COVID. and it left a lot of nasal congestion. So when you have nasal congestion, you have more airway resistance. So if you do have issues with your, you know, you're sniffly, you're congested, get that addressed. Now, don't be taking Afrin, you know, because when you sadly use these medications over the counter, you could get so used to them. But you know, some people might need to, during allergy season, go on, you know, an inhaled nasal corticosteroid, or they might need to take an antihistamine. So there are some things that you could do to help. The other thing, too, is your positioning in bed. If you sleep on your back, which I think might be helpful for the back, sadly, that could decrease your airway resistance as your tongue goes to the back of your throat. So if you sleep on your side, that may open up your airways a little bit more. Now, that might be an issue for your back, so you want to get a pillow in between the knees, and you want to, you know, talk to your doctor about how to make sure you're ergonomically, you know, positioned. But, you know, sometimes if you're a back sleeper, you're going to snore more. And then you got to avoid alcohol. Alcohol could affect the muscles in your throat. That could also cause snoring. If you raise your head up a little bit, that might help. I like to take a hot shower before I go to bed. I take a hot shower because it opens up my sinuses, and then I'm able to go to bed. And then, of course, if you are overweight, that losing weight will help, all right? Because when you gain weight, it starts to kind of thicken up the neck. When you thicken up the neck, that can sadly lead to, you know, more airway resistance and, you know. Now, sometimes you might have big tonsils. And for those of you that are throaters, where you always get sore throats and big tonsils when you're sick, many of you with COVID said, my gosh, I feel like my whole back of the throat is swelling up. You know, some people with very large tonsils, if we feel your tonsils are contributing to sleep apnea, we're going to recommend that those get removed. And that will open up, hopefully, your airway. And So I mean, I'm not saying you have to have surgery. There's even, you know, some more aggressive surgeries where they move the jaw. They could realign the jaw, and there's a lot of things, you know. But I think many people have underdiagnosed sleep apnea or lack of appropriate oxygen going to the brain, and their only symptom is the snoring at night. And you need oxygen to get those memories. So a sign of you having sleep apnea is you're exhausted the next day. Your memory is starting to go. You have headaches. You know, you don't perk up and have that energy. You have some depression. You know, it's like night and day when people get their CPAP. And there's people that say, I can't sleep without my CPAP now. And so I think that really, really helps. You know, I noticed my husband lost a lot of weight since he started his CPAP because he got enough oxygen. If you get a good enough oxygen in your sleep, that'll help you lose weight. It'll help with your metabolism. So these are definite things that you know. So hope that answers those questions for you. 1-877-DOCTOR-ELLIE.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely. Hey, guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So remember I told you there's a new variant called the BA2.75 or the BA.275. Well, we got a little bit more information on it, so I want to share it with you because it seems to be rapidly expanding multiple countries as well as detected in California, starting to spread in the West. And we're trying to deal with the BA5 variant that has now become most dominant. So to recap, this all comes from Omicron. Omicron started maybe a week before Christmas in most parts of the country. A lot of people got it over Christmas week. And a lot of people got it over New Year's week. Then January and February was just getting beaten up by Papa Omicron. Baby Omicron started to come out about February, March. Baby Omicron was a BA2 and its variants. So you had Pop Omicron, which was the BA1, then we had the BA2,
Then we had grandbaby Omicrons, the BA2.121 and the BA2.122. Grandbaby Omicron started to hit us about April, going into May. Then we had the BA4 and the BA5. So we're talking now five variants within 6 months. The BA4 and BA5 start to be more ubiquitous in June and now July. So I have, you know, been very, very busy on telemedicine with COVID throughout this whole 2022 first half because it's just one variant after another. You also are having people extremely frustrated because they got vaccinated, they got boosted, they got Omicron in January, they got Omicron in March, April, and now they're getting it again. Well, it's different strains. So while the BA5 is now the most prominent strain that we're seeing, we have another strain, which is kind of going back to the twos, but it's the BA275. Dr. Tom Peacock is a virologist at Imperial College London. He said this was on June 30th. It's worth keeping a close eye on BA2.75. Lots of spike mutations, probable second generation variant, apparent rapid growth, and wide geographical spread. It is quickly spreading, according to MedPage. A lot of spike mutations appearing together, but it still is a little too soon to determine how dangerous it's going to be. Of course, its spike mutations might be some of the spike mutations we want in the new vaccine, but we're so a year or two behind with the new vaccine that I don't know if they're ever going to be able to catch up. So I just want to give you guys an update on the latest strain. It has, according to MedPage today, hit at least 10 countries in Asia, Europe, North America, and Australia, which means rather than some of these, you know, like Lambda, which you really, really saw mostly in Peru and South America and maybe a couple other, you know, this seems to really have no problem with both, you know, sides of the equator. And you know, again, it has a larger geographical span. It was first detected in India. It was first detected in early May, has spread quickly ever since. They said it's now 25% of the samples in India as of June 2nd. It is competing with BA5 and BA2. Now, the reason why this is important is when Delta started in India, Europe got it within about 6 weeks, and we got it 6 weeks after that, roughly, at its earliest. So if 3 months from May, we might get, you know, have a wave of this, that brings us into August. And for those of you just getting over BA4 and BA5, the last thing you want is to get sick again in August and September. But that could be where we start to see the spike of it. And August is only a few weeks away. They say a more recent analysis of coronavirus sequencing posted by a scientist in Australia suggests the proportion of cases has jumped much higher as of July 8th. And they think it's more than now 25% of samples. A CDC spokesperson told MedPage that there's been two cases detected in the U.S., first specimen collected on June 14th. So this lineage of the BA2.75 has 9 unique changes in the spike protein, according to Vinod Skaria, principal scientist at the CSIR Institute of Genomics and Integrated Biology in New Delhi. One mutation is the G446S. It's part of the spike protein that binds to receptors and is associated with major immune escape, meaning the G446S helps them bypass our vaccine for the old wild-type COVID-19. No shocker there, but that's all right. And then they say there's also a bunch of other genomes that they're evaluating. I don't have the whole list of all they have, but that's at least one of the spike proteins that they have. So is it more severe? I haven't seen thus far data that it is. Again, data is just, you know, very slowly coming. But they are frustrated that this seems to be spreading quickly. It doesn't have a problem jumping continents, doesn't have a problem jumping hemispheres. And keep in mind, the reason why the hemisphere thing is very interesting is because wintertime versus summertime offers different arenas and different opportunities for these viruses. So we're right now in the dead of our summer. You would, if it has no problem spreading in the summer hemispheres, and we've seen COVID not care about temperature and about seasons, then again, that reminds me that this could be a very sturdy virus. Now, there's a lot of discussion on why do the seasons matter when it comes to COVID. When we were dying from COVID in droves, that was 2019, 2020. That flu season, winter season, cough, cold season was one of our worst, was one of our deadliest. Not so much because of temperature, but because of COVID. Now, COVID should have been competing with flu, competing with adenoviruses, rhinoviruses, all sorts of things, strep pneumonia. But apparently COVID was able to compete with all of them to get to the body. Some people had both. They had both flu and COVID. Some people had, you know, multiple issues. But the fact that COVID during the winter could outcompete these other bugs also gives you a sign of how sturdy. Because, you know, you can make an argument that, well, if this is the COVID that's running around the summer, well, then, it doesn't have a lot of competition. So, of course, it could go and infect people. But usually in the summer, you're outside more, you're getting a lot of vitamin D, you're eating a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables, hopefully, as opposed to a lot of comfort food in the winter. You know, so it does bother me that you have these waves that have no problem hitting the summer population. My guess is, as I said, maybe it's because of its lack of competition. Flu is still flailing when it comes to competition with COVID. And I'm not saying we want the flu back. Flu killed. Flu would kill an average of anywhere from 30 to 80,000 people, average about 50, 60 a year. So COVID obviously outsmarted the flu, and we've had very mild flu seasons because of COVID. But sadly, COVID is what's been filling up the hospitals, not recently, but instead of flu. So I do watch these patterns, and when you see these variants, especially the BA2 variant, which came from February, March, being able to now persist, you know, after months, unless, again, with India, remember, we are months behind India. Where, you know, when a virus starts in India, it takes months for it to get from India to Europe to us. Just like what happened with Delta. It took about, I believe, 3 months for us to see our wave. So we're seeing these mutations, one, mutate faster than we expected, rather than just one new mutation a year. Okay, we seem to be getting them every month. There seems to be a new one that's starting to brew. We're also seeing people get multiply sick, maybe not hospitalized, but get COVID multiple times in one season. We're seeing vaccinated or unvaccinated, doesn't matter, people are still getting it. We're seeing boosters. In fact, one study found that our boosters are only about 20% efficacious a few months after the dose. So we're really overdue for a new vaccine, and we really need to fine tune it for these spike proteins. 1-877-DOLLY, don't go away.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready-hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that last up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert. Filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless. dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly? Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims, and we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.